Well, I'm excited about this week's guest because it's been my pleasure to serve on panels with her and to also be involved in classes with her. But this week we have Lisa Robinson, an E&O insurance expert and the president of Pinnacle Insurance. And she's been on the show before, so welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
I know we're going to go into a little bit beyond the basics because we've had you on in the past, but for those that are not sure what E&O insurance is, can we just give them a brief? What is it?
Sure, absolutely. Before we go there, I just want to reiterate on Frank was talking about all the exciting things going on, and there's a lot of risk management of things that are being, you know, that are occurring right now, and I encourage everybody to go out there and support that. You know, E&O insurance, we're dealing with the problems, but you go into your education, all these seminars, the classes you guys do, everything that's going on is a way to try to make sure your business practices are sound and you avoid those problems.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, I'm not sure if you mentioned it. We do have.
I did not. We were waiting for you to mention it.
Okay, good. Thank you. Arizona Association of Realtors and Barb Freestone. Music.
The Barb Freestone moment.
Absolutely.
We had our second moment. We are conducting a broker manager risk management conference August 12th. It's at the Chaparral Suites in Scottsdale. It's actually an all-day event. I'm excited because I have for years been trying to get an insurance company, the ones that pay all these claims that they see. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the information that they
Absolutely.
Have on claims that they can impart and help share with us to really get a good handle on what's going on? And one of my lead E&O providers, One Beacon Insurance, is they are in the forefront on risk management. They do it with lawyers, and now we're bringing it to the table on realtors. And Arizona is the first state that we're going to roll this out in conjunction with Arizona Association of Realtors. So we're having a panel of insurance executives in the morning. It's for continuing education, a three-hour education session that we'll be talking about claims, the claims process, what happens, how the carriers handle it. I mean, questions that people want to know. How mm-hmm. does it work? You know, when they settle versus when they defend, all these things and you know, really kind of how it works and really impart information on what you need to know as an agent or a broker when there's a claim, what they're going to ask of you.
And normally we've asked you those. These are the guys, though, making the actual decisions.
These are the ones that handle the claim. You know, I might know of it. I really don't know the workings of mm-hmm. how this all plays out when the attorneys get involved. And you know, the insurance carriers have a lot of valuable information. And these are actually insurance company people that are also attorneys.
Awesome.
So I think it'll be exciting. We have Michelle Lynn there and Rick Mack that's also going to be doing a segment on claims trends. And then in the afternoon, we're running roundtables of exciting tables, mm-hmm. discussion with experts. We also have someone there. It's Andrew Wooten. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but he's an identity theft expert. And mm-hmm. That is one of the issues out there right now with short sales and REOs and financial information that realtors are, you know, have, you know, are taking care of if that's not handled properly and someone, you know, is faced with identity theft, there's some serious ramifications there. So
Absolutely.
A lot of things we're going to be covering. So
this is the first time we've had something remotely like this. So this is exciting.
Absolutely. And that's
so now when is it and how can people find out more information about it?
Okay. Again, it's August 12th. It's at the Chaparral Suites. And you can register online at www.regonline.com/brokerconference.
Cool.
I'm sure you can probably go to the AAR website and check it out with Barb. We've got registration. It looks like early bird registration is $79.
Okay.
Again, you get CE credit. It is pending. I'm not sure how many hours. And I will also tell you that one of the insurance, you know, providers mm-hmm. and probably most of them, it's such a big deal that they're going to give you credit if you attend this on your E&O premium.
Oh,
so
wow.
We've got a lot of exciting things, and
that's
it is a 9-to-4 conference.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's a high powered group that's going to be in that class. Just go and absorb the energy, if nothing else, that day.
Mm-hmm. Learn
so
from the
hoping.
Others around you.
So we're hoping.
That's fantastic.
So you know, the risk management is all about being proactive and resolving. But, you know, E&O insurance is that's what you're buying. You know, a firm should be purchasing a policy that if you're sued, mm-hmm. if someone's coming after you for, you know, something that you did wrong, an error omission in rendering professional services, that's the E&O policy is what's going to stand behind you. You know, the first thing it's going to do is pay the attorney's fees. Mm-hmm. And you know, realistically, when you have a problem and it's unresolved and an attorney gets involved, you immediately double the cost of that problem, right? Whatever mm-hmm. the damages would be, because when attorneys get involved, I mean, think about it. If you did, you know, what we always say is you don't have to do anything wrong to get sued. Mm-hmm. That happens quite often.
I remember asking an attorney one day, what do I need to do to be liable for stuff? And she said, open your mouth. And I did, and she said, you're liable.
That's right. That's Absolutely. Right. So you don't have to do anything wrong to get sued. If, you know, just to defend out of a frivolous lawsuit is probably a minimum of $15,000 to $20,000. So your E&O is going to hire that attorney and defend you and ultimately pay the damages that result from the, you know, the wrongful act, whatever went wrong in that transaction.
Excellent. Well, I went on realtor.org just to find some general information about errors and omissions. I have somewhat of, I understand a little bit about it, but
you
it
do.
Had tips.
You understand a lot about
I understand
Roger.
A lot yes. about errors and omissions insurance. But not
All right,
near
this as, isn't fair.
Yes, but not near as much as you. And on there it had tips to why you would choose a carrier, how to find the right E&O carrier. So I kind of like to go down those tips. I think it helps brokers and agents understand what the process is and why you choose who you choose. The first tip it had is find a specialized agent. Why is that important, and what's a specialized agent in this in the errors and omissions realm?
Well, that's so true. There's so many insurance agents out there that are just generalists that, number one, don't even have an understanding of the real estate business and what they do. There's many, many, you know, carriers out there that provide policies. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have a bare bones policy that doesn't give you full coverage. For example, if an agent's selling their own property, that's a big thing. I mean, I don't think that there's many real estate firms out there that wouldn't have an agent selling their own property. So mm-hmm. that's something that is probably going to be very valuable. You want that protection. A lot of carriers don't offer that coverage. And a generalist, an insurance agent generalist, mm-hmm. doesn't understand that. So they'll put you in a policy, and they'll say, here's the premium, and you're covered. Mm-hmm. When in actual fact, there's a lot of maybe areas of your business that might not be covered. They're not even knowledgeable enough to explain that to you. So, you know, you find out when you're sued, a lawsuit's filed against you, and you have to defend that claim yourself.
Well, our show's focused on we try to kind of gear it toward real estate agents out there in the field working, and realtors in particular. And oftentimes I've heard realtors and realtor brokers say, if it's outside your area of expertise, you need to refer it to someone else. And I'm getting a head nod from Frank, so I think he's agreeing with me. The same can be said, I would assume, from Arizona, from insurance services.
Absolutely. That's such a true statement, you know, not just in real estate and insurance. And think about that. It makes a lot of sense, and so it definitely is the same.
Well, you brought up one of them, but the second thing was make sure all your services are covered. You mentioned one, the selling your own home. Are there other areas where you need to be careful, especially in the realm we're in right now?
There are so many other areas that it's just – I wouldn't even know where to start. But let me say this. First of all, you can purchase E&O insurance from – a carrier that's selling their own product, all right, what I would call is a direct writer or a captive, all right? They're selling their own product, so they're only representing their product. They want to make that sale. They're not going to tell you where they're deficient in their coverage. They want to make the sale.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, you'll see those policies might not have fair housing discrimination. That's something we see those claims. You want to have coverage for that.
And big claims. Those aren't little claims.
That's
either.
Right. You know, there's issues with environmental coverage, where failure to disclose or advise environmental. That's a big thing. Sale of agent owned. Really, some new things that have just come into play this year that I'm really excited about is, you know, that the dreaded M word, mold.
Mm-hmm.
We know, you know, mold was just like a horrible thing about mm-hmm. 5 years ago, and everybody was running out the door. All the insurance carriers, from homeowners to commercial to E&O, put mold exclusions in their policy. Frank, you've probably seen a few mold problems here and there along the lines.
You know, we just rarely see mold problems in homes.
It's kind of like that termite thing,
there's
right?
not one that doesn't have mold. It's just how much it's got.
That's right. We actually have a couple of carriers that are now in their E&O policy offering coverage for failure to advise existence of mold. That's
wow.
what a realtor has exposure for. We have a carrier that's offering coverage for what's called subpoena assistance. And, you know, I learned something that when you're subpoenaed, when your file's subpoenaed, that's probably a red flag that you might have some problems. And you probably want to talk to an attorney. And some of the E&O policies are offering coverage to pay for that attorney to make sure you have proper counsel so you're not doing something that you walk right into a claim. So there's, you know, there's so many different areas. You know, when you're saving a few dollars on your premium, mm-hmm. but you could be missing one of those important areas of coverage, you actually are probably costing yourself $15,000 to $20,000.
Well, when we get back, we're going to talk about the three more items that was on this list. And then I'd love to get into a discussion about our marketplace, REOs, what's going on in Arizona Mist Insurance and real estate owned property and short sales and all that. So we'll be right back. This is Roger Nelson with Real Estate from A to Z. Listen to these messages. They help put the show on. Thanks. Welcome back. This is Roger Nelson and Frank Dickens. Frank Dickens, filling in for Bill Asher, the Real Estate from A to Z. And we're having a wonderful discussion with regards to errors and omissions insurance. And I need to disclose. They talk about disclose. At one time, I sold errors and omissions insurance. And that's how I first met you. This is way back, not that far back. But
how long ago was that, Roger?
About 15 years ago. Yeah. 15 or a little bit longer than that, you'll believe that.
Boy, we're old.
Well, I bought some errors and omissions insurance once. So, do I get to be in the little circle over there?
No, absolutely.
All right.
You want to be in the circle?
Well, when we went to break, we were talking about five tips for selecting the right E&O carrier. And we have the expert on telling us what we need to do. The next one it said on the list was look carefully at prior acts coverage. Can you talk a little bit about prior acts coverage? And we kind of said there's two, prior acts and tail coverage, which was the next one, consider tail coverage.
Correct. Right. You know, E&O is it's really a complex topic, unfortunately. For insurance, it's the most complex insurance policy out there. Most of policies are what you call an incurrence form. So, you know, say you're driving your car, you have an accident. You had the accident in 08, you're sued in 2010. The policy that's in place in 08 when the accident occurred, hence occurrence response, that old policy response. That's kind of what everybody thinks. You know, I've got my E&O, or, you know, I have insurance, and I did all my transactions, and I had insurance. I'm not doing any more transactions, so I'm going to close down my business, and I'm covered. And it's actually the exact opposite. E&O insurance is written on what's called a claims-made form. Claims-made means the policy that's in place when the claim is made and reported. So in that scenario, if something goes wrong in 08 and you're sued in 2010, the policy in place when the claim is made, 2010 responds. So when you open up your doors to start your business, you take out your E&O insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in business 5 years. You maintain that continuous coverage. And say you opened it up in 2005, your policy this year for 2010, it's an annual policy, should have a prior acts date back to 2005 when you first took out coverage and opened your doors.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, this one-year policy is carrying 5 years of coverage. Does mm-hmm. that make sense? So when you, if you decide you want to close your doors or sell or, you know, whatever, shut down, you would cancel your policy. And what you then have to do is buy a what's called a tail. You buy a tail that basically is an endorsement to that policy after you cancel it that allows you to report claims that occur after you've closed your doors on the transactions that were conducted during that period of time you maintain that E&O. Very complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you really want to know is you take out E&O when you open your doors.
Mm-hmm.
You continuously maintain it. You don't lapse it, cancel it, non-renew it. You don't miss a payment. If you're paying monthly and you miss a payment, your policy is canceled, you lose all your prior acts.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy a tail. So you maintain it. And, you know, at the point in time where you decide to terminate, you know, doing business, then you buy a tail. And hopefully you're in a policy. Not all policies offer tails, and they all have different types of tail periods that you can purchase. For example, a one-year tail, a two-year tail, a three-year tail, 5 years unlimited. That's what you're going to be looking at. The premium for that, there's a charge. A significant charge is 100 to 200% of the premium. Kind of complex. I'd get into it too much, but
So, Lisa, is there an avenue for – I've been an agent. I've never been an owner-broker. I leave a company, and then I find out about a year later that that company is intending to shut down. Can I, as an agent, go back and get some type of coverage for the transactions that I had with that company if they choose not to do tail coverage?
That's a great question, and it's the answer is typically the firm has to buy the tail. Now, if the firm is not in a position to buy the tail, and you as an agent want to get all the agents together to go to the firm to buy the tail where you're funding it, you can do that. Individually, an agent can't buy a tail just for his portion. So, you know, the important thing is for agents and brokers to understand that and try to address it with their insurance agent when they're going through that so they can look at their options. And if you're, you know, an agent with a firm that's going to go out of business, maybe you look at trying to buy that tail for your own protection if the firm's not going to be able to do that.
Now, let's say that agent goes to another company and that company is in business and the other company is still in business, but the agent gets sued or has a claim over a prior transaction. Does the other company cover that, the E&O policy, or is it the current company that they're with?
Great question again. The E&O coverage is for the firm and the agents doing work on behalf of the firm. So when you go to Company B and you're sued for a transaction that you did with Company A, the policy that's in place for Company A should respond to you as a former agent that did business on behalf of that firm. Now, there might be a policy that doesn't cover agents that leave, but that's traditionally how it works.
I see.
So it's real important that the broker has that in place and understands that. But it's also important, we've chatted about this, that the agent understands that the broker has that in place. And when we've chatted, when you start with a firm, that's probably one of the things you want to ask.
No, I would think so. I wouldn't want to be practicing real estate with a firm that doesn't have E&O. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times it's just, you know, not being aware of really, you know, how important it is. Because, you know, a lot of these premiums, I mean, I've got carriers that you can get a $300-$500 premium now, Roger.
That didn't happen a few years ago. Lowest it was like $600-$750.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a single agent, you know, a broker with a firm, and you're doing straight residential, you're just small, you do 50,000 less in business a year, we can put you into a policy that is decent coverage. It doesn't give you everything, but mm-hmm. It gives you almost everything. And if you're just small, not doing a lot of your own deals, it's probably going to be sufficient and keeps your premium, you know, $400 or $500. What does it cost to go visit with an attorney?
So I'm going to go for the third great question here, because I just had this thought, because I have thoughts of eventually retiring, and I want to be sitting on a beach and not have a process server show up. What if I retained my license? I left a current company just to retire. What if I kept a broker's license and kept an active business and bought my own E&O policy? Didn't necessarily do any business, but I just had an E&O policy that I continued to pay on every year. Am I covered for all the prior acts?
If you maintain that policy and keep it going, you're going to have prior acts. Now, the issue is when you renew, if you're really not doing any business, you complete an application that's saying, are you doing business? And it's showing zero business. An underwriter might say, don't want to write you anymore. So, you know, oftentimes they're looking to see when you're trying to get around buying the tail.
I see.
Absolutely. Well, there was one more on there, and we can get into that a little further, but it's be sure.
You didn't say great question, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
That third
great question.
You're full of great questions. Be sure your policy offers innocent party protection. What does that mean?
Well, innocent party protection is pretty standard that I see that in most E&O professional liability policies. And what that is insurance policies do not protect you if you commit a criminal or intentional act. That mm-hmm. makes sense, right?
Yeah.
If you're committing a criminal act, it's not going to cover you. However, most E&O policies will afford protection to an innocent party. So you're the DB, your agent commits a criminal intentional act. If that is proven, now it's very hard to prove, you know, fraud, mm-hmm. intentional acts, but if it's proven, the carrier does not defend, they're dismissed from the case for as far as who committed the fraudulent act. However, the carrier still has an obligation, will agree to defend and protect the innocent party as long as they had no knowledge of, did not commit or participate in the fraudulent act. It's pretty standard that that's included within most D&O policies, but again, very important for DBs or managing brokers to have that coverage.
And there's one thing I wanted to go back to that you talked about tail covers that I did not know this, unlimited, that it goes on forever. That very, just a few years ago, wasn't the case. It was hard to find something like that. It was a 3, 5, 7 was as top, you know, most that it gets. A nice protection for real estate agents out there, real estate brokers out in the marketplace.
That's true. That's one of the things you want to look at in your coverage, particularly if you're going to close.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So we're talking all things of real estate and E&O. We're going to talk about REO properties when we get back. We're going
to near and dear to my heart.
The last section on that. This is Real Estate from A to Z, in with Lisa Robinson and
Bill Asker.
And Bill Asker and
his
Roger
friends
Nelson,
call him Frank.
And his friends call him Frank. Listen to these messages. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Real Estate from A to Z. I'm Roger Nelson. And subbing in for Bill Asker is Frank Dickens. And we have our wonderful guest, Lisa Robinson. She's an E&O insurance expert and president of Pinnacle Insurance. And I've said for, I think, three sections, we're going to talk about REOs and what's going on, short sales and REOs and how it affects heirs and misses insurance. And so I'd like to hear, you know, what's going on in that world as it affects heirs and emissions insurance.
Oh, it's really interesting.
It's exciting.
It's really changed. You know, it used to be most of our claims came from property condition claims, and I'll tell you, it's been a while since I've seen some of that. It's really, you know, claims that emanate from these emerging fields of short sales and REOs. And what we're seeing in short sales is really the issue is an agent really staying within the area of expertise of, mm-hmm. you know, selling the real estate and not, you know, these short sale sellers need to seek that financial and legal advice. And when that's not happening, we're seeing claims, you know, issues, problems that result, you know, if a deficiency is not relieved, if they get 1099'd on these, you know, these amounts that aren't relieved. And I gather there's a 5 or 6 year period that the banks can come after you for that.
Absolutely.
You know, issues with credit scores. And I'll tell you what, you know, these sellers, they don't know a lot. They don't understand. Mm-hmm. And when they enter into the short sale and then they go, some of these guys think they're going to sell their home on a short sale and go buy another one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're surprised when that doesn't happen. And who are they going to come after? They're going to come after the real estate agent. There's a lot of attorneys that are happy to jump on board and make that claim because they know there's an E&O policy. Mm-hmm. So it's very challenging. And I know we've been pretty, I feel as a state, we've been very diligent in making sure the short sale advisory that the sellers are seeking that advice. But I think we need to try to take it a step further and make sure they get it. Or maybe, you know, we have an attorney that that we bring in as a realtor to make sure things are, you know, are going to be conducted correctly. So it kind of minimizes the realtor's exposure to that lawsuit.
We're fortunate in Arizona that we have the short sale advisory, the buyer advisory. I know that we were recently at a national meeting, and that was the hot topic at the national
meeting.
Hot topic. Well, it was, Frank. You were there. The short sale advisory in other states wanting to take advantage of that. So kudos to AAR, to the department for putting something like that together. I know that I've been at a number of different events where attorneys were speaking as it related to short sales, and their opinion was you don't get involved in it. I mean, you do the short sale, but you push it all off. You're not. You, other than selling a home, you don't have any expertise. And I'm sure that's going to create, I mean, and the problem is we don't hear about that. This is where something that 2 or 3 years from now may be the issue.
We're seeing it now, and I think there's a lot, you know, there's exposure out there that we have yet to see, you know, claims that can come forward based on these actions from the lenders and what they're going to do. So it is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really kind of the concept if, you need to file bankruptcy, you need to get an attorney involved. It's kind of the same concept. And
absolutely.
And there's a lot of guys out there, $300-$400 that a seller can get proper advice. You know, the short sale might not be the right avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I have also heard that on occasion I was talking with a firm. We were doing a short sale presentation recently, and an agent came up and said, well, I referred five of my clients that were short sale opportunities to an attorney. and all five of those deals are killed. Okay, because it wasn't the best option. But maybe that's okay. You know,
it's more than okay if they could, you could have been in trouble there. I mean,
exactly.
And the last thing you want to do is get that subpoena.
There's no commission in the world worth the heartache that you go through in trying to defend yourself in a lawsuit like that. And a lot of agents have good intentions, but Lisa's absolutely right. You have got to get tax and accounting advice. I've been doing this for 31 years, and I was involved in a short sale about a month ago, and it is incredibly complicated. And when you meet with the attorney, the good thing that attorneys bring is also some sanity to the emotional process of, you know, the real estate agent and the buyers and sellers. And once an attorney's in it, there's some sanity that comes to the transaction. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
That's true. And, you know, they say that, you know, typically claims come from when people are surprised. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't expect something. So, you know, if you tell them what to expect and you meet those expectations, you're going to have a satisfied client. And that's what it's all about. And you have a satisfied client, and you're going to make more money, and you're not going to have that lawsuit. And so it seems like, you know, it makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
In a lot of ways.
Go ahead.
We're talking about, I was going to talk about something near and dear to your heart.
We want to talk about something near and dear to my heart. And we've got just a couple of minutes, Lisa, but talk to us about what an agent, there are a lot of agents that want to get into REOs, they want to get an REO account. What should they look for in errors and omissions coverage when they take on REO accounts and they're working with the repossessions?
That's a good question.
Do we have 30 minutes?
Great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question. Right?
Why, thank you.
You know, it's E&O is just a part of that. What I'm seeing on the REO business is when you want to do that business, first of all, you're going to get the master listing agreement, and you need to review that. They're going to talk about scope of services, what they're looking for you to do. Oftentimes, they're asking you to do things that might be outside of the scope of what an agent or broker does. Of course, you've got property management duties. I'd say, Frank, I hear you talking about your business and how much of your time is spent kind of along the lines of managing that property.
Yes.
It's probably the majority.
Coordinating repairs.
Yeah. So, you know, you've got to make sure you've got coverage for property management, even though you might not do property management for a fee. We kind of consider it embedded property management, and make sure you have coverage for that. But you're looking at the scope of the services, what they're asking you to do. You need to look at the insurance provisions, because it's not going to be what your policy, it's not dictated by your policy, it's dictated by what the lender is asking you to carry. And most importantly, look at that indemnification language. It's pretty significant. And if you're not carrying the protection they're asking you to provide, there's an indemnification provision saying you're going to be responsible for any claims that occur. And they're going to be coming after you for that.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so vitally important to have a good errors and omissions insurance agent that you're working with. Because you mentioned in the beginning, you know, the direct buyers, it may or may not be a good route to go. You've got to have a good consultant on that other end.
You do. And they'll take that, shift that risk, give them the listing agreement and say, here you go. Make sure I have the protection I need. And, you know, there's things that you might not be able to pick up, and we'll talk about that so you go into it knowing where your coverage is and maybe where you have some issues of exposure.
Excellent. We're down about the last minute. Kind of wrap up. I'm an agent. What's the things that I should be doing when it comes to errors and omissions insurance?
Well, you know, I think, you know, just kind of reiterating is making sure you've got you're with a firm that has E&O protection. They're making knowledgeable and informed decisions on you know, what their business is. Mm-hmm. You know, in my mind, your insurance broker should be like your attorney and your accountant. Mm-hmm. You have risks of your business, and the whole purpose of an insurance policy is to shift the risk that you are able to off to that insurance carrier, and knowing where you have your coverage and knowing where you're exposed. And then you try to manage those risks. You know, maybe you shift them the exposure you have contractually, or maybe you avoid that activity, you know, business brokerage. It's so important just to make a knowledgeable and informed decision and not really put your head in the sand and not want to know. And that's where you're going to be good. And then you can practice and end up in a good place.
Well, thank you so much for coming, Lisa. Appreciate your time. Next week, I got Megan Duger from AAR, Government Affairs with AAR. This has been Real Estate from A to Z. Thanks for coming.